I don't know if Anne mentioned it, but we're going to study them during the week, you know, these, and we've produced a thing to help you with those in the different studies during the week. Okay then, I'm glad I got faith to speak on, because for one thing, the Bible gives us a very clear definition, so I don't have to make one up, you know, because then, you know what Christians are like, they'll argue over the toss of a coin, won't they? So I can't see how we can argue over this one, as it's in the Bible. It's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And I must be a couple of months ago, I came across a passage in Luke, and I was reading it, and I'm not going to have to put the hands up, since you're not in school. Well, you are in school, actually, so I suppose you could put your hands up if you really wanted. But has any of you ever read a passage from the scripture and thought, well, I know I've read that before, but I've never read it before. You know, it suddenly comes and means something to you. And so for the last couple of months, and I got to say, in the Bible study and the prayer meeting, they've heard me read this. I'd like to read it again. I haven't quite got what it means, I don't think, the entirety of it. But I just think it's an absolutely wonderful story of faith. And as I said, it's lived with me now for a couple of months. So those who have heard me read this before, I apologize, but it won't do you no harm to hear it again. Now, one of the Pharisees invited us, Luke chapter 7 it is, 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. She loved much, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." As I say, I really don't understand what God is saying here to me, and I hope he's saying something to you, because when I read that, I just knew that God was trying to say something to me about faith and about what faith was. Oh, I better check the time, sorry. And about what faith was. And this woman, I tried to see and I tried to worship God. I tried to open the door of worship by trying to put myself in this woman's place and see Jesus as she saw Jesus and listen to Jesus with her ears. It's a bit weird, I know, I'm sorry about that. But I tried to, you know, this is a sinful woman. There's no doubt Jesus said she was very sinful. The Pharisees say that she said, look, she wasn't invited here, and she wasn't wanted at this place, but she came. And she came, and I don't know whether she'd heard Jesus, heard of Jesus, heard Jesus preaching, or saw him, or a friend had told her, who knows. But she came to a place that she wasn't invited to and wasn't wanted, and knew that she would be, I guess, spurned in some way. And yet, her faith in Jesus was such that she just was at his feet. And I know for a fact that I would have been sitting round the table, and that's what gets me. I would have been sitting round the table debating theology with Jesus if I'd been there. And that, I think, is what hurts me a bit, that this woman just was at his feet and offering him love, devotion, faith. And the Pharisees and the others who were, you know, experts in the law were sitting around the table discussing things with him. Even when Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven, they didn't say, oh, that's wonderful, the sin has been forgiven. They said, who is this who even forgives sins? So they were ready to debate, right? They just didn't see what faith was. And Jesus turns to her and he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's all I really wanted to say to you. I'm obviously going to say a bit more, but that's really all I wanted to share with you, with this story, this human story, this how one woman, one person interacted with Jesus in a faithful way and in a way that just registered her faith. And perhaps all of us who would naturally want to sit around the table and discuss stuff with Jesus, theology with each other perhaps or whatever, what we really should be doing is be at his feet. That's the place of faith, is at Jesus' feet. And I'm not there yet, and I know that I'm not there yet. I'd still probably be debating as I, as I was, but yeah. Anyway, take that for what you can get out of it. It's certainly been very challenging for me. The other thing that that struck me, and this is almost bizarre, really, but I guess most of us could say, you know, what is justification by faith, and talk about justification by faith. But you know, I must have forgotten what it was. I must have forgotten what it was, because when I started to think about what Jesus said to this woman, your faith has saved you. Well, that can't be right, can it? That faith saves someone. What about the cross? What about Christ's suffering? What about, you know, taking our sins upon him? How did her faith save her? And then I sort of started reminding myself, if you like, and it, you know, again, it came almost as, I won't say a revelation, that'd be too strong, but it certainly struck me, I think, that's how we access faith. That's how we access salvation. That's how we access a relationship with Jesus. We access our relationship with Jesus. We initially access faith, and then we go on with Jesus by faith. By faith. We So Christ dying on the cross and taking our sin away and rising again on the third day, if we don't have faith in him, then that doesn't mean anything to us. We're not saved. We haven't accessed salvation. We must have that faith in Christ, that place at his feet, because that's the deal, if you like. That's how we access not only forgiveness, but that's how we access righteousness and holiness. I am not a holy man. I am not a righteous man. Something struck me. Mother Teresa apparently was at this conference. I was hearing the speaker say once, And she was asking, she had a bit of a spot at the conference. I think the Pope was there and lots of other people. And she had a bit of a spot at the conference, I guess, to talk about her work. And she asked the church to send her, to send the work in Calcutta and India, holy men. And that struck me, well, who are these holy men then? Who are these holy people? She was after, I guess, priests who would minister to the flock. And she said, you know, never mind about all the rest, just send holy people to me. And how can you be holy as a person? And again, you access that through faith, because it's counted as righteousness, that is, holiness, if you like, to you, if you have faith in Christ. It's counted, God looks at that, he credits it to you as if you were righteous. So even though you're not righteous, the fact that you've got faith means that God credits it to you, a person, as righteousness, as holiness. So if you were struggling with the idea, and I know very many people do this, they struggle with the idea that they're not worthy, they're not good enough, their life is not adequately Christ-like, to be a Christian, to be worthy of God, and the truth is that it's not, and neither is mine. But thank God, the way for us to access that holiness is not by our deeds alone, but by primarily by faith. So I'm sure this is all stuff that you know backwards. And to be honest with you, if I was sitting there, I'd be thinking, yeah, I know all this. Sometimes I think I forget. So, in Luke 7, verse 50, it says, and it says in a few other places, I won't read them all, your faith has saved you. And in Acts 15, verse 9, Peter's talking to the church, and he talks about purified hearts through faith. They purified their hearts through faith. And you tonight can have your heart purified, made clean, made righteous, made holy through faith. But you have to keep there. You can't just have it as a one-off experience 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 30 months ago, 10 weeks ago. The place to find holiness, the place to find purification is having faith in Christ and holding on to that faith. Inevitably and horribly, I have to read from Romans. Sorry about that. For those that know Romans, they know that it's quite a challenging and difficult book to understand. But if you're going to talk about faith, you've got to dip into Romans, I'm afraid. So it was with trepidation that I picked out this verse. But now it's Romans chapter 3, verse 21 on. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law, so previously they had to obey the law and be holy because of the obedience to the law of God. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So to all who believe in Christ and his redemptive work and who love the Lord and are faithful to him, you have a righteousness from God. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? So can we boast in the fact that we're good? Can we boast in the fact that we're holy? Can we boast in the fact that our deeds are righteous? No. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is only one faith, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. So, faith is absolutely essential to us living and being holy and living and being righteous lives, even when we're not actually acting righteous. It covers, it gives us access to that holiness. It's a weird thought, really, isn't it? You know, that you can be righteous without actually, God will see you as being righteous without actually being righteous. But through faith, it's so powerful what Christ has done for us and the access that he's given us, that's what happens. A miracle, really, I guess. In James, it says, in James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And those who go to the same Bible study as me know that there's often a tautological argument in the Bible where, you know, it looks like it's all one thing, and then something else comes in and it just sort of points you back to reality, really. And the reality is, you know, we can't just do what we like. That's not the deal, is it? That's not faith. You know, faith is the woman on her knees crying and washing Christ's feet with her tears and washing and wiping them with her hair and anointing his feet with oil. That's not the, you can't turn around and say, oh, I can do what I like. That's just nonsense, isn't it? No one rational person would ever say that. And Christ wants us to do acts of righteousness as well as faith, because it should be born out of our faith. So faith without works is dead, is useless, says somewhere else in James. And as we look at some of the other stories of faith in the New Testament, we look at the one that we just read. You know, the woman had to go to this place. She had to make the effort, make the decision to go and see Jesus in this place where, as I said, she was neither wanted or invited. She took perfume, so she thought about it. She went with this act of love and faith by pouring perfume on his feet and washing his feet. So there was an action associated with her faith. There's a story, it's in Mark chapter 5, of a woman who was bleeding for, I think it was either 15 or 20 years. She spent all her money, suffered a lot under doctors. And she went to Jesus, and she thought, if I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, as the AV puts it, just touch his cloak, I'll be healed. And she was. She was healed. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. You see, it gives us access to so much of Christ. So much of our relationship with Christ is dependent upon our faith. And of our using that faith as our interaction with Christ, as the basis of our interaction with Christ. There was in Luke 18, there was a blind beggar. Again, another famous story. And Jesus was passing by, and this beggar was shouting out, "Jesus, save me, heal me," or something. Perhaps I should read it. let's probably, it is a Bible, it is a, right, let's look at that one. It's Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him, told him off, and told him to be quiet, shut up. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want of me? What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. But the man had to shout out and not be put off by the crowd, by people saying, shut up, be quiet, I'm making a scene, you know, making a fool of yourself, whatever. He had to do something, and it was his faith in Christ led to him. Your faith has healed you. So you access healing and relationship with Christ through your faith. And this probably is reflective of me. There's one story which I find is my favourite story, really. So I will read that out to you for no other reason. And it's from Mark chapter 9, verse 20. So they brought him when the Spirit saw Jesus. This is about a father who's got a boy who's having has been attacked and convulsions, and there's a spirit in him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything..." But notice what the man says. You know, he's desperate, obviously, to have his son healed. And he says, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus says, if, is this faith? "If you can..." question mark. Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, and this is why I read it, and this I think might help some people here as well. It certainly helps me. The boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." I do believe, in the AV you would say, "I do believe, forgive thou my unbelief." You know, we don't have to top up our faith in some way or our righteousness to a level where we can then sort of, we reach the point of being able to access Christ and our relationship with him. We can access Christ, and this is the glory and the magnitude of his love for us and the magnitude of his generosity and grace to us, is that he will take your faith wherever it is. Wherever your faith is today, he will take your faith and he will use it, and he will allow you access to him, and he will allow you to talk to him, and he will allow you to ask for things. "I believe, forgive thou my unbelief." Is this in some way optional, perhaps? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So, you know, Claire can organize as many socials as she possibly can. She can run as many alphas. Anne can do as many alphas as she can organize. We can do as many things here. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, and it's impossible to access Christ. Without faith, you can't do it. You need, whatever level of faith you have, you need to access that and indeed grow it. The woman, and I'll end you, the woman that we looked at the start with the perfume who wept at Jesus' feet, she had faith. She was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. Everyone knew she was a sinner. She was a local woman by the sound of it. And everyone knew of her sin. Jesus said, "Your sin was great." But she acted on her faith. And because she acted on it, her faith was credited to her as righteousness. And he says, "Your faith has saved you."